All right. As we get started this morning, I want to just reemphasize why the beginning of each of these messages, as we've been going through 1 Peter, sound an awful lot alike. I want to get us into the proper context of what Peter and the Holy Spirit were writing. And that takes into consideration a proper hermeneutic. Ryan reminded me of that in Sunday school today, which basically is we want to look at a proper historical, grammatical look at what's been written, and then look at the author's original intent. Okay. So many times we read Scripture and have an understanding that this was written just for us today. Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit can speak to us through the Scripture. But it's important to look back at what was going on, why it was written. And as we see these people that we can compare ourselves to, they were physically in a strange land. They were spiritually in a hostile environment. Most of us today will not say that we are in a hostile land physically. I mean, this is America, God's country. But spiritually, we are roaming as aliens and strangers amongst those who are around us. And Peter is laying out, you know, most of chapter 2 on how these believers, and we can kind of throw ourselves in here, how to live in their world. I mean, we looked 2 weeks ago, we looked at how we should respond to government issues. And our government is much different than the government 2,000 years ago. So we need to kind of see how we can fit in that. Today we're going to be looking submission of slaves to masters. Well, we don't really have a lot of, you know, maybe you being newly married, but we don't have very many we don't have many slaves in this country, not of the slaves that were being spoken of here that Peter was writing to. The best thing that we can compare ourselves to is employees to employers. Those that have rule over us and basically control our livelihood. I have a guy that works for me as a dispatcher who is very fond of telling his drivers that I control your paycheck. these are the environments. I have worked for good bosses in my lifetime. I have worked for people I didn't really care for in my lifetime. But how are we to respond in these areas? And how are we as Christians looked at? If I were to tell you that you, just by the fact of being a believer, should be, or will be hated by this world, what kind of response do we get? I don't feel very hated, at least not because of my faith. Now, I don't know if that's just because my faith doesn't stand out as good as it should. I don't like to be in people's faces over my faith. I had lunch this week with an old friend of mine, and you know, guys, I could have went off in many different directions. You know, well, you're not doing this, and you're not doing that, and you're not doing this. Maybe I should have. But I don't know how much good it would have done. But am I being obedient? Am I not? These are the things we all struggle with every single day. Jesus said in John 15, 17 through 21, "This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me." I mean, we could be Westboro Baptist Church. I know we haven't heard from them in many years, but I mean, they wear a badge of honor on how hated they are. It's sad because the gospel isn't going forth. Just their messed up agendas. Jesus did not go around antagonizing people as he walked this earth. He told them the truth. And it was that truth that turned them against him. Are we being truth tellers? That's the question I'll pose as we begin this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll look at verses 18 through 21. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, if a person bears up under sorrows when he suffers unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For if you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Now, verse 21 is kind of a transition verse, and we'll probably look at it. We're definitely going to look at it this morning. We'll probably begin with it next week as we finish this chapter. But as we look at how we're to cohabitate in a sinful world with secular supervisors and bosses, how should we be? Does everybody know what situational ethics are? Yes? No? Some of the younger ones, maybe not. I can remember going when I was in basic training, or maybe it was tech school. I can't remember which one. We were taken to the chapel, the base chapel, and given classes. And we didn't know what they were, and they weren't called situational ethics classes, but that's what they were. I mean, the questions that were posed to us that we were to answer, what if you had the only cure to a disease that your neighbor next door was suffering from, but you only had enough for yourself, but you weren't sick? What would you do? A couple different answers to that, and you begin to, you can rationalize almost anything. Today, in our world, just show of hands, does anybody work in a job to where your Christianity or your faith could be held against you? Nobody? What if you, in the company that you worked for, were to have a class on modern day diversity training? Has anybody had to go through that? Julie, yes? Somebody I know just went through it this last week. And I was told that there's two ways to answer the questions. There's the answers that they want to hear, and the answers that you, how you truly feel. One of the questions was, is the subject matter of transgenderism against your religion? How would you answer that in today's climate? I mean, you know, and I'm not talking about having a job down at the local belt store. You're making six figures. You have a family. And this question is posed. Do you answer the way they want you to answer, or do you answer the way that you feel you should? This is kind of where Peter's getting at in our passage. I'm going to change, for argument's sake today, I'm going to change the word servant to worker. So worker, and I'm going to change the word master to employer. So, worker, be submissive to your employer with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but to those who are unreasonable. And that word unreasonable could be translated perverse, nasty, evil. I believe most of us, because I know most of our attitudes and actions, I think most of us would be obedient to this. Sad thing is nowadays, people within the job structure don't want to work. I heard this last night as I was delivering to a nursing home. When I was giving our delivery to a nurse, and just she was frazzled, and she said, "Nobody wants to work anymore." We see that everywhere. Is that true at the end in the post office? Is that true in the hospital setting? Is that true as a government worker? Okay. People want a check, but they don't necessarily want the work that goes into that check. We, as God's people, should be different. We should be working not as unto ourselves, but as unto the Lord. And how do you respond to somebody who's unreasonable? I mean, I don't know. We went out to dinner Friday night with Jim and Jenny. Do you think Pete's easy to work for? We went to Pete's restaurant. We had some time to talk to Pete. From our view, pretty nice guy. But for those who work for him, he probably has many high standards and expectations. Back when I was in the military, it was easy to fall under the submission of those over you. I mean, this was late 80s, early 90s. Is it the same today? Or was it the same 2 years ago? You know, the standards have shifted in our culture. But that doesn't mean that all the time we should change the standards of the Scripture. How do we respond at work when things aren't going our way? And that's the question. I told the guys yesterday, you know, when I bring somebody on as a contractor who works under me, I tell them that I am probably the easiest person that you will ever work for. And most people are okay with that. And generally they are fine when I'm nice to them. But if that same grace and mercy falls upon somebody else, either somebody they don't like or just the circumstances don't meet their expectations, then I can be a horrible person. And I'm just trying to paint picture so you can kind of maybe match your situations up. When I was in retail, managed a grocery store, my boss would walk in the morning, and he'd walk around the store and say, "Everything looks good." Then he'd leave. 20 minutes later, his boss would walk in. And next thing I know, this store is the worst looking place in the entire company. Nothing's right. I remember a conversation with one of my superiors. Went something like this. Well, if you're still here in 2 weeks, how do we respond in those issues? Are we submissive to them? What does submissiveness mean? Do we argue? Do we try to get our way? I mean, as parents, when we tell our kids to do something, why are we telling them to do it? Because we think we're right. And whether we're right or not, our instruction to them is for them to obey. It's kind of the same thing, you know. And again, we work in America. Things are, you know, if you don't like your boss, you are free to leave and go work for another one. That is a freedom that we have here. But we should not leave under bad circumstances. So, as we are good and gentle, or as we are submissive to these, both good and gentle, and those who are unreasonable, Peter says, for this finds favor for the sake of conscience toward God. A person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. These people didn't have, these first century people didn't have much choice. They couldn't quit McDonald's and walk across the street and get a job at Burger King. It just wasn't so. Their choices were a little bit different. And they needed to be a picture of both Christ and God to those that were with them. I can be very sensitive, believe it or not. When something in the workplace or personal happens, I can fall off the deep end. I had someone not too long ago who, somebody I hadn't seen in years, had one conversation not too very long ago, but then got a text that I was the most horrible friend that anybody could have. I should have just kind of wrote that off. You know, and when I tried to explain, explanations wasn't what they wanted. But that put me under sorrow at that time. I mean, you don't know. Beth has taught me this more than anybody. How many times I have apologized in my lifetime for things that I really didn't think I really needed to apologize for. But sometimes it's the right thing to do, and it helps clear the conscience. 20 years ago, we used to wear little bracelets. What would Jesus do? Do you still ask yourselves those questions when you fall into a circumstance? Can we use these circumstances to find favor toward God? Peter says, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? Is there credit in that? I think so. I think it's a rhetorical question that Peter is asking. What credit is there if when you sin? Oh, I'm sorry. Got to read it right. When you sin. So if I'm bad, if I tell my boss where he can take his suggestion for what I need to do, and I suffer consequences from that, is there credit in that? No. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Do you personally have, I'm reading from a paper, do you personally have problems with transgender people? I can honestly say no to that. Is that lifestyle against your religion? Yes, it is. What happens then? Maybe nothing. 5 years from now, maybe more. But I could see probably the worst thing happening at that. Well, how did you answer these two questions? Because they're different. How can you not have a problem with it, yet it being against your religion? I don't have a problem with people, per se. My problem is when people who are mixed up in this lifestyle say that God is okay. Because that's where the Bible differs. I mean, I guess my answer would be, I'm fine with this person, but don't expect me to participate. That could lead to an HR meeting. That could lead to not being at your job ending. That would be when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. We don't know how to handle those things today. Each and every one of us who are in a job, that job could end at any moment for any multiple of reasons. Kim, you could be fired because of your religious stance. Kim, you could be laid off because the company closes and all the workers go away. The circumstances are there. If the company closes, what do you do? Do you worry? Do we seek out God's face during that? For His comfort? Do we spend a lot more time in prayer? You had no control over that one. But if you were to take a religious stance, a right stance, and you lose your job, is it any different? Shouldn't be. Depending on who we are, it might be. God, why did you have to have this written down in your word? But how are we through those things? Because you've been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in His steps. How many times are we a negative example? How many times do we... Luckily, I'm a negative example most of the time, and only I know it. And only Beth knows it. And that tends to be in the car, as we get behind people who are slow, who ride in the left lane on the highway. And I think during those times, the word idiot probably proceeds out of my mouth more than it should. But we're not called to get upset. We're not called to show the old man that we carry on our back. We're called to show the light of Christ. And even though we don't think we can show that light in our car behind someone slow, sometimes we're just showing it by not laying on the horn. I mean, last night we were out, and I think on the way to Alliance, and there was like 3 or 4 deer on the side of the road. And the car in front of me stopped. Until the deer went away. Part of me wanted to lay on the horn. Part of me said, what's 45 seconds going to matter? So I could have been a negative example. Or I guess this would have been more of a neutral example, but at least it wasn't negative. How would Jesus have responded? An example to follow in His steps. Every one of us suffers trials and tribulations. It can be health related, it can be financially related, it could be, you name it. How do we respond in those times? Wives, how do you respond to your husbands when they don't fulfill the honey-do list? Husbands, how do you respond to your wives when dinner's not ready? Within the workplace, within the home space, Christ is center. He is who we need to be emulating. These people living 2,000 years ago, basically in modern-day Turkey, living in these stone houses, working for people of different cultures than they were, different religions than they were, What kind of an example of Christ would they have been if they spent their entire time mumbling and complaining and getting in people's faces? What about us today? I don't know, guys. Whoever said the Christian life was an easy life to live, I don't think they've necessarily lived it correctly. Because we're at war. Ephesians chapter 6. Principalities and powers. Majority of the people that I work with do not adhere to Christ. I would say the majority of the people you work for have no relationship with Christ. How are we in the workplace? Because what we should be is truth tellers, giving them the gospel. If we are not good and gentle, if we are not submissive, how far will that gospel message go? Especially with these people we see every single day. This wasn't the most exciting message. It wasn't the easiest one to give. Believe it or not, I liked the government message 2 weeks ago better than this one. I mean, I don't see the government every day. But I see my superiors and my subordinates every day. Let's be like Christ. Father, I thank you for this time. And Lord, I don't know, part of me, Lord, feels like this has been more me than it has been you. And maybe it has. But Lord, help us just to see the truth of how we are to act in this world. Lord, we are strangers and aliens trying to cohabitate with a worldly people. And though we don't want to run around and purposely tick people off, Lord, sometimes it happens. And it's how we respond in those times that we can show your glory. Father, help us to look more like you. Lord, I do not want anybody in this room to look more like me. I want them to look like you. Teach us through your word. And through the power of your Spirit, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.